The book of Exodus, chapter 20, page 95 in your Scofield Reference Bible. Exodus chapter 20, we'll be reading the first 12 verses, and we'll read these verses responsively. First 12 verses of chapter 20, book of Exodus. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Once again, reading the verses responsively. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy maidservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And the 12th verse is the text verse for the message. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word and for all that it speaks to us. It's complete. We need nothing else. We pray that thou wouldst bless now in the hearing and the preaching of it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
As you know, I'm not one of those preachers that thinks that you have to take a portion of Scripture and exegete it or expose it in order to be what your people need. I feel there are times when we get together as a church family when we ought to study the Bible verse by verse. I think there are other times when, as I will tonight, I will say much about the Word of God. I think there are other times when special occasions call for our thrice weekly family reunion, turn our attention to something else. This morning, I'm going to talk and talk about our mothers and honor our mothers. Now, one way you can honor your mother this morning is by listening to every word I say, because I'm going to give honor to your mother and to mine. In fact, that's the title of my message, Honor Your Mother and Mine. So I want you to listen very carefully. I'll not be bombastic, I'll not be loud, I'll not be teaching you the Bible. I'll simply be giving some people this morning honor who justly deserve such honor. This is Mother's Day. Let us sit up and listen carefully as I speak the words that you would like to speak about our mothers. I'm only your spokesman. I'm only your sounding board. And what I'm going to say this morning, every person in this room who has a godly mother would like to stand and say, Heavenly Father, give us, I pray, a time of sweet gratitude for mother and a holy resolve to honor her through our lives. In Jesus' name. The wood stove was getting red on the side. The faint smell of coffee was coming from the kitchen. The sound of bacon frying was the awakening alarm. The rooster was practicing his crowing, and Mama was in the kitchen singing, and I was just about to get up. Everything was all right with the world. For when the sun is rising, Mama's cooking breakfast, and the smell of coffee comes bedroomward, along with the sound of bacon frying, and I do not know anything that smells any better than coffee and bacon. Sin always is attractive. But everything just seemed all right with the world because Mama was in her place. We didn't even know where El Salvador was. We thought he was a Mexican bullfighter. No one cared in those days about going to the moon. We never heard of the prime rate. We thought that's what you did to a pump when it wouldn't give water. Someone had told us that Roosevelt was president and Joe Louis was a heavyweight champion. Or wait a minute, was it Joe Louis president and Roosevelt heavyweight champion? We didn't hear Watergate. And back in those days, if our president said we needed soldiers, we all wanted to go. If our president said there's an enemy out there we ought to fight, we fought to get to the enlistment place. Most important thing in the world in those days, morning time, was getting that biscuit soaked with red eye gravy. If you've never soaked a biscuit with red eye gravy, you're not much Christian. And as that biscuit absorbed the red eye gravy, made with bacon grease and coffee, another biscuit oozed with butter. And another peeked out from underneath good old-fashioned thickened gravy. I've often said, if I ever drowned, I'd like to drown in thickened gravy. What a way to go. We sat for breakfast at a table covered with oilcloth. Remember the old oilcloth we used to put on the table? We drank from jelly jars, and we just felt like singing. Everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. And it seemed all right. Her Majesty sat proudly on her cane-bottomed throne. Oh, she wasn't a queen like Esther or Sheba, nor Elizabeth of England, nor Mary of Scotland. A needle was her scepter. Purity was her robe. Godliness was her crown. And we young'uns were her subjects. She had no diamond-studded crown, no throne of marble, no robes of velvet, no jeweled scepter or royal carriage. You know, funny thing about it, we never thought, Earlene and I, how good a wife Mother was. That never dawned on us. You know, we never thought about that. All that mattered was that your mama and my mama was the greatest mama in all the world. We used to love to sing. I want a girl just like the girl that married dear old Dad. Amazing what you've got in this one package of pastor here, isn't it? Preacher, Bible teacher, soloist, all in one handsome package. Mama, smoke a cigarette? Not a chance. Mama, wear shorts? You're doing good to get a glimpse of her ankle every once in a while. Mama, drink a beer? Yeah, when the Pope becomes a Baptist. Mama, say a curse word? Yeah, when the NAACP and the Ku Klux Klan merge. At old-fashioned mamas in those days, they didn't have cigarettes hanging from their lips, beer cans in the refrigerator. They weren't waiting for, as the world turns, to corrupt their minds. She was more than a queen. In the morning time, she was a chef. When I came running in hurt, she was a nurse. I can still feel the strawberry as I slid into third base. And just a little skin that scraped off, and just a little blood just sort of like the dew of the grass, in the morning time. Just a little blood sort of sprinkled across that big old wound about that big around. And I can still feel that iodine hitting. Oh. And that mercuricone. For in those days, penicillin was iodine. And in those days, the miracle drug was black fraught. It mattered not what we had. Fallen arches, falling hair. It didn't matter. Black draught was the answer. And Mother always took a teaspoon and turned it around, and on the other end of the spoon gave me black draught. But she was a nurse when I was sick. She was a surgeon when I got a splinter in my hand, and a doctor when I stuck a nail in my foot. She was a psychologist when I had problems. And a farmer, as she hoed the garden. No little wallflower was your mother and mine. She was a barber when my hair was long. And a cobbler when she put a piece of cardboard in my shoe to half sew it. Mother was a dentist when my tooth was loose. As she tied a string to the doorknob. And one end of the string to my tooth. Remember those days? And then with one end of the string on my tooth and the other to the doorknob, she'd throw the door. And the tooth wasn't loose enough to come out, so my head hit the door. And then she said, "Son, I'm sorry, it's not ready yet." And then when dentist Costal Mattie Hiles would finally extract the tooth, she ceased being a dentist and she became a fairy. And sometime through the night, a little fairy came and placed a penny under my pillow. Had a tightwad fairy at our house. She was a judge when Earlene and I fought. She never ruled in my favor. And I was always the innocent one. She was an executioner when I was bad. She was a baker in the afternoon, and she would make some tea cookies. I don't know why they called them tea cookies, the little vanilla type cookies Mama baked. I can still see her getting all the dough out of the pan, putting little cookies. In fact, she'd get the other end of a jar and put it in flour so it wouldn't stick to the dough, and then she'd stick it down and cut the cookies out. And I never could understand why she ruined that good dough making cookies out of them. And Earlene and I would fight over who got to scrape the pan. Remember the pan scraping days? And Mama would make fudge or divinity or our cookies. And then in the afternoon, when I was a boy, we'd have a little tea party. Never had any tea. Just a tea party, that's all. We'd use what we call in those days Polly Pop. They call it Kool-Aid now, where I came up. You know, they call it Polly Pop. And you buy them for a penny, make a quart of Polly Pop for a penny. It's just colored water is all it was. But Mom and I'd have a tea party and eat the tea cookies. She was a seamstress when she darned my socks and a teacher when she taught me math. I didn't like math very much, and so my mama knew I liked sports. So Mama taught me math by teaching me how to make batting averages. And that's the way she taught me math. I didn't care much about geography, so Mother found out where all the big league teams were located. And I had to tell her the Cincinnati Redlegs were over here, and the Boston Red Sox up here, and New York Yankees up here. And back in those days, Boston Braves were up here, and Philadelphia Athletics in those days were over here, and Kansas City now. Mother taught me geography as she taught me where the cities of the ball teams were located. She was a buddy when she got the Chinese checkers out. And somehow, I didn't know till I was grown that she let me beat her. And then she'd get the pickup sticks out, and we'd take an hour sometimes. I didn't know how busy she was, your mother and mine. She was a warrior when she chased the wrong crowd away from my house. One Sunday afternoon, I used to be a softball pitcher, and one Sunday afternoon, a Catholic priest came and got out of his car, came up to the front porch, and asked me if I'd pitch ball on Sunday afternoon. Well, Mama taught me never to play ball on Sunday. And to this day, I'd have an awfully hard time picking up a softball or baseball and throwing on Sunday. Now, it's not wrong according to the Bible, but it's wrong according to my mother. And my mother was Bible where I grew up. And I didn't know the Bible. I knew what Mama said. And I can see that Catholic priest saying, we're playing a championship game. We don't have a pitcher. And she said, could your son come and pitch for us this afternoon? And my mother said, get off my porch! And he said, well, ma'am, he's wanting to pitch. Your son's a good pitcher. My mother got the broom and came out on the front porch and started swinging that broom and chased that Catholic priest. She'd done it if it had been a Baptist evangelist, too. I mean, well, because he's Catholic, he's trying to get her boy to play ball on Sunday. In thy house, you didn't play ball on Sunday. She was a singer as she rocked me and sang, Lighten the Corner. And that's about the way she'd sing it, too. I got my voice from Mother. She didn't know songs had tunes. She'd sing, Bright in the Corner where you are. Bright in the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor, you may guide across the bar if you're bright in the corner where you are. She was more than a teacher and a seamstress and a baker and an executioner, a judge and a dentist and a fairy. My mother was a sentry. As she paced the floor at night to guard my fevered brow, as she walked her post and manned her post, she took my temperature, felt my fevered brow. Say, well, did she have a thermometer? No. Mom always took temperature like this. She put my hand, and she could feel the pulse rate. And the pulse rate would tell her if I had fever or not. I'd wake up just to turn over in bed, and I'd feel a wet bed because I'd been perspiring through the night. And I can see Mother wrapping me in a blanket, and I'd lay on the floor for a minute while Mother changed the sheets. But Mother never went to sleep. She was a preacher. As she preached to me, I can hear her sermons now. Walk straight home from school. You're as good as anybody. Better than nobody, worse than nobody. Look up to none and down to none. We can't afford good clothes. We can afford soap, and we can be clean as anybody. She was a theologian, and she taught me the Bible at bedtime every night, and an evangelist. As she said about sin, no, no, bad, bad, no. She was a foreman as I mowed the yard and a tailor as she made my shirts. She was a launderer as she rubbed the old scrub board and put every piece of clothing. Remember those old scrub boards? Every piece of clothing we had dirty. Mama had to heat some water on the wood stove and pour it in a number two tub. We bathed in that tub. That tub was everything. We bathed in that tub. My daddy had bathed first. My mama bathed second, same water daddy had. My sister bathed third, same water mom and daddy bathed in. I bathed fourth, same water Earlene, mom and daddy bathed in. I look at that water, look at me, and time again, I said, that skin's cleaner than that water is. We bathed on Saturday afternoon, always did. I didn't always need it, but we bathed every Saturday afternoon. And Mother'd get that same old tub and wash it out. And then she'd put the rub board down the tub and take the water she'd boiled on the old wood stove and pour it down into the tub and lean the rub board up against the side of the tub and take every garment we had that was dirty and hold that garment like this with her knuckles and rub that garment against the rub board. Every one. She was a dairyman as she churned. The old-fashioned churn, making buttermilk. You Yankees think that buttermilk comes from nervous cows, but it doesn't. Buttermilk comes from... And I can hear Mother singing, Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care. And she'd sing it, and she'd churn. She was a tailor as she peddled the old sewing machine with her feet. Make the machine go with her feet. She owned Dorcas Needle. She owned Florence Nightingale's Compassion and Phoebe's Cup and Hannah's Prayers and Mary's Purity, Elizabeth's Faith, Martha's Stove, Mary's Alabaster Box of Ointment, Deborah's Zeal, Jochebed's Ark, and Esther's Courage. Her majesty still reigns. Her charm has failed. She's not as pretty to passers-by as she once was. Time's harsh footprints have shone on her face, and color has fled her cheek, and luster has escaped her eye. Oil of Olay is now impotent with my mother. Doesn't do a bit of good. Spring has left her step. There's no need to try to caulk the wrinkles in her face anymore. If you had a mother like mine, you stand today at attention with me. We salute you, you godly mothers that loved us before we loved ourselves, cared for us when we did not know to care for ourselves, fed us from your loving breast, sang to us with your soothing voice. Everything just seemed all right. I wonder, why was it when an old-fashioned Texas norther would come up, or we weren't alerted for tornadoes in those days. We didn't know what that was. You know, 60% chance of rain. We just knew a norther was coming in. And I can see across the Texas plains now, that old cloud rolling like that. And then I said, I got to go home. I got to get to Mama. And Mama's apron was a refuge from the storm. Just seemed like everything's all right if Mama was there. By the way, still sort of feels that way, doesn't it? Those of you that lost your mother, you know what I mean. To those that have your mother, you think what I mean. Everything was all right because Mama was there. Honor her? Are you kidding? Are you kidding? Honor her? Of course I honor her. How? First, by preparing to meet her. My mother is 93 and a half. She's here this morning. Now, let's face it. She knows and I know that one of these Mother's Days, the last one that she's here, she'll be with Hazel, Loreen, her two other children that are in heaven. Erlene and I are on earth, and the truth is, the best kids left. The best girls did. And we're left. And if Mother goes to heaven between now and next year, she'll still be in heaven. She'll still have two of her kids with her, just as she has today on Mother's Day. But one day, if the natural happens, 93 and a half. I've got her chanting. I'm going to make 100. I'm going for 100. I'm going for 100. And I'm going to be very disappointed if she doesn't go to 100. But I'll tell you what, it's all settled. I'm going to meet her. I'm going where she's going. Honor her! Of course. You have a mother in heaven today, and you do not know that you'd meet her in heaven. You're not honoring your mother. Honor thy father and thy mother! Why? That thy days may be long of all the lambs the Lord thy God hath given thee. How? Honor her with preparing to meet her in heaven. We used to sing, tell mother I'll be there in answer to her prayer. This message, blessed Savior, to her bear. Tell mother, we used to sing those old songs. Don't sing them much anymore. Ah, but let me tell you something. This little old preacher here has got his ticket all punched. I don't deserve to go to heaven, but I'm going to go to heaven. I've trusted Him. He's my Savior. And my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I know it. It's all settled. And if Mother goes to heaven this year, it'll just be a little while till I'll be there with her. I wonder if you made provisions to be with your family in heaven. Have you made provisions to be with your mother when all is gone down here and you breathe the last breath? Can you sing right now that Mother in Glory, tell Mother I'll be there? Have you say, oh, how I honor my mother. How do you honor her? A flower is not enough. A corsage is not enough. A new dress is not enough. Some little gift is not enough. If you're not sure that you're going to meet your mother in heaven, you've not honored your mother yet. The best way to honor your mother is to prepare to meet her down in Texas. A big family was gathered around the deathbed of a dear, dear daddy. And the dad came by. The dad was lying on his deathbed, and the children came by, a bunch of boys and I think a few girls. They came by, big family. And one of the child boys, all of them grown, said, Daddy, goodbye, Daddy. And the daddy said, good night, son. I'll see you in the morning. And the next boy came by, and the daddy he said, goodbye, Daddy. And the daddy said, good night, son. I'll see you in the morning. And the next son came by. Then the daddy said, good night, son. I'll see you in the morning.
and another, and another. And to all of them he said, good night, son. I'll see you in the morning. Good night, son. I'll see you in the morning. And finally, the last boy came by, and the dad said, goodbye, son. And the son said, but Daddy, Daddy, you didn't say goodbye to the boys. You said, good night, son. I'll see you in the morning. Why did you say goodbye? And that's all you said to me. The dying father said, my son, you're not saved. You've never received Christ as your Savior. Unless you do, I'll never see you again. He said, good night to the other boys. I'll see you in the morning. But son, I can't say that to you. And the boy said, Daddy, please say it to me. Please say it to me. Good night, son. I'll see you in the morning. And the daddy said, son, that's up to you. And the daddy fell. The boy fell beside his daddy's dying bed and received Christ as his Savior. I remember in East Texas preaching a funeral. By the way, it was on the same day that Dwight D. Eisenhower died. And I was burying a man named Ike. And I preached the funeral in East Texas town. I called it the coronation of Ike. And it was the same day that Eisenhower died. And I got through the funeral, and a son came, right in the middle of the sermon, really, right in the middle of the sermon, he jumped up back in the back of the little chapel and ran down the aisle and threw himself over his daddy's dead body, and he said, Daddy, Daddy, I want to see you. I want to see you. We stopped the service, and that son received Christ as his Savior. Don't you think it'd be a wonderful thing this morning if your family could be together in heaven? Don't you think it'd be a wonderful thing if that dear mother in glory knew that you were coming? Huh? Don't you think it'd be a wonderful thing if you prepared to meet her? We used to sing a song, I dreamed I searched heaven for you. I dreamed I searched heaven for you. Oh, won't you prepare to meet me up there? I dreamed I searched heaven for you. Oh, you say, Brother House, nobody believes in heaven anymore. You got a hole in your head. Folks that have watched the saved people die believe in heaven. You stand beside that little Mrs. Munden down in East Texas. When she died, she said, let's all join hands. And that dear old saint of God, that old-fashioned country house, we all join hands. And she said, let's sing together in a clear soprano voice. The last word she ever said, she sang that beautiful song. And something about the white, the robes of white, and she sang it. Or if you've seen that old man die in East Texas, looked up and said, keep preaching it, preacher. Or that dear lady down in Henderson, Texas, mother in her 90s, died. As she died, she's quoting the 91st Psalm. Oh, don't you tell me there's no heaven. Don't you run, my mother, for that hope that she won't see little Loreen and Hazel again. Don't you do it! Away with such infidelity. There is a heaven, and Jesus is the way to heaven. If you want to honor your mother this morning, you would have to honor your mother by preparing to meet her. How else can I honor my mother? By doing God's will for my life. Why? What could say thank you, mother, for the night she spent by my bed? What could say thank you, mother, for the day she toiled to make it possible for me to have decent clothes to wear? Why, how can I say thank you? I'll tell you how I can say thank you. I can say thank you by saying, mother, I'll do the will of God all of my life. One day I was leaving Mother's house. I try to see her every week if I can. But I was leaving Mother's house, and Mother didn't feel well. And she said, son, pray for me. And I prayed for her. And as I left, my mother said, wait a minute, son, I don't feel well. And she said, one of these days I know you're going to leave the house for the last time. She said, son, if this is it, I just want you to know how proud of you I am. And I want you to know how I thank God for your ministry and how thankful I am that God let me live to see it. Isn't it strange? Dr. Edwards' mother died when she was 70. She'd never seen First Baptist Church of Hammond. She'd never seen Hiles Anderson College. But God has extended that 70. You say, what can you do to honor? By doing the will of God. That's all. Listen, she went to the jaws of death to bring me in the world and fed me and loved me and cared for me. How can I honor her? Honor her by doing the purpose for God putting me here on this earth. How else can I honor her? I can honor her by caring for her. I don't know what you're going to do with your mother, but if I have nice clothes to wear, my mother's going to have nice clothes to wear. If I have carpet on my floor, my mother's going to have carpet on her floor. And if I fly an airplane, my mother's going to fly an airplane. And if I stay in a motel some, my mother's going to stay in a motel some. If I have nice clothing and nice furniture, my mother's got nice clothing and nice furniture. How about yours? How's your mother doing today? Compare your lifestyle with hers. All these ungrateful kids that put mother in a cage. You know what I said? I said a cage. Take her off somewhere in some little cage and put her there. Pay somebody to take her off your hands. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Thank God for mother. Thank God for your mother and for mine. She didn't have a car to drive. And you never saw her teeth when they were rotten in her head. She didn't have one tooth in her head when she was 40 years old, or 45, 50. Not one tooth in her head that was white. You didn't see her back in those days. I used to look at those teeth and I said, if I get older, if I get some money, I'm going to buy her some nice teeth. And I used to see her put a little dress on that didn't fit her, take a feed sack and try to make a dress out of it. And I used to see her at church and I said, other ladies had nice clothes. And I used to say, if I get older, now get me a job and get me some money, she's going to wear nice clothes. I want to say this and I'm through. There's no way you can honor your mother without honoring God. And there's no way you can honor God without honoring your mother. And so this morning I stand at attention. And I say to those whom we call mother, I salute you. And say, God bless you. And thank God in this old day of perversion. Thank God that I had an old-fashioned mother, whose hand was not as soft as cleansing cream can make it, or hand cream can make it, whose face couldn't afford to have any cleansing cream, and whose trip to the beauty shop was an old curling iron that had a handle on the bottom. Just you put it in the chimney of the kerosene lamp till it got hot. And then you pushed it like that, opened it, and you got your hair, and I haven't got enough to show you how. And she'd put that thing in you, he'd go, psss, and roll it for a minute, let it out. Whose washing machine was a rub board, whose dryer was a clothesline. Thank God that that's the kind of mother I had. And I challenge you mothers in 1981 to be that kind of mother. Oh, you don't have to use the rub board or the curling irons or the old flat iron that you put on the wood stove that got hot and then scorched your garments you were ironing with it as you sang, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But you can have the faith that mother had as she ironed, and you can have the courage that mother had as she curled her hair. And you can't have the fellowship with Jesus that Mama had as she turned and as she sang. Sweet hour of prayer, sing it. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet. It's time to pick up the lid now and see if the butter's coming. Picks up the lid, reaches down and lifts out the butter, throws it on a piece of bread paper, because we couldn't afford any wax paper, and then pour it on there, and then she'd start molding it with her hands. And then she'd get it in a shape like a bowl turned upside down, and then she'd be like that across the top, make a necks across the top.
And then she'd get the old flat iron, put it on the wood stove. It'd get good and hot. Then she'd take my little shirt, my little khaki trousers that were passed at the knee, and start ironing them. And as she ironed, right on the corner where you are, and I should sing. That's the kind of mother I had. And I honor her today. That's the kind of mother you have, most of you. Honor her today. And heed the admonition and command of our God who said, honor thy father and thy mother. Our Heavenly Father,